What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
They enter with Steele. Steele for Johnston, shoots, and he scores! Wyatt Johnston opens the scoring, his 25th goal of the season.
KSC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It has been a busy day already. The Cardinals, they traded Nolan Arenado to the Diamondbacks. Sham Sharania reporting that Anthony Davis is in fact likely to have surgery, which we kind of thought would be the case, which would wipe out most, if not all, of the rest of his regular season. Then added that the Mavericks might still keep trade talks going with contender teams who would look to pick up Anthony Davis for their playoff run. And Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers, has in fact been fired. Felt like the writing was on the wall for that yesterday when asked if they had the right person in place. And Harbaugh said, I don't know how to answer that right now, or something along those lines. So, lot of stuff transpiring. And we take you to the ice, the man who runs starsthoughts.com, lover of Golden Age Simpsons. It is, in fact, Robert Tiffin. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey guys, that's the best introduction I've ever gotten.
Yeah. Boom! Yeah. Now, because you really sabotaged the idea of breakfast at Tiffin's by scheduling this in the afternoon, so I really feel like you put me in a tough spot there.
Yeah, I had the nerve to be out in California where they do time all weird. It's like 2 hours off for some reason. I haven't figured out why yet.
So it's still the morning there, is what I'm hearing. Now,
it could be breakfast at Tiffin's because
that's good
where
point.
He is.
Good point. And you should accept that one because otherwise somebody suggested we call the segment Tiffin's Treats. And I don't know if you like that one quite as much.
I've gotten that one before. I think you guys have made the better call. But who doesn't like breakfast after
Hell
all?
Yeah. Now, Jamie Benn is back. What does that realistically mean for the team? What's his ideal ice time? And did he, in fact, say one and done for the visor was good because he's a man and he doesn't need no nonsense visor?
Yeah. I think it's a little bit more of the latter for him. He's, you know, it's what we've seen the last couple of years. He made the joke in the playoffs the other year, I think when Wayne Gretzky was in the locker room saying, hey, I'm a checker now, so I don't score much. And that does kind of reflect his usage. He's a bottom six player who plays on the second power play sometimes if they get him out there. So his role, it's more about being the captain. It's more about being a leader. And he does still chip in. His offense this year is still probably better than you expect, given his usage. But one of the ways he leads is exactly by how he comes back from injuries like this. He's one of the only players I've ever heard refer to some sort of facial reconstruction surgery as a quick surgery, which is what he said last night. He said, it was basically, I just took a couple days off, pretty quick surgery, no big deal. And we asked him if he was going to, you know, keep sporting the visor. I imagine it was mandatory after you come back one day. He had stitches in his nose and some other repairs to parts of his face where he fell and hit the ice the other night. And he indeed said, yeah, I think that's pretty much going to be it for me. Despite what he said, my mom, I'm sure, loved me wearing it, probably my wife too. But nonetheless, Jamie Benn is going to do what Jamie Benn does. And that means probably going back to being, I think, one of only four players in the NHL still not to wear a visor.
Robert, what was it about super great and legitimate currency.biz arena that got Otter right last night?
Is that really the name of their arena?
No.
I mean, more or less. Yeah. I'll always call it Staples Center. That's just, I used to live out here for a while, and so I am a native Texan, don't worry, born in Dallas, but I did live out here for a little while, so Staples Center is what it always will be to me, but it is a weird arena. I think Stars fans have a lot of memories of very odd games out there. And I have a couple of those memories in first person. Even last night, honestly, it was kind of a little bit of a weird game, both with the called off goal and the late comeback, not getting any power plays and the empty net attempt by Steele off the post. It was a nervy one right up until the end.
That being said, Otter was, you know, Jamie Benn gave him the compliment last night, and he was like, he was the best guy, the best one on the ice. Did it feel like he was right last night a little bit?
Yeah, and he needed it too. I mean, I don't think you can really overstate what it means that Casey DeSmith started two games in a row, right? You go back three games, Jake Ottinger got pulled, and then DeSmith came in, won that big game against Washington, and then he started again in San Jose. And having a backup start two games in a row, it's one thing if they start alternating, kind of splitting 50-50 for a little run or something like that. The schedule's heavy, we all know this, but they had days off in there. That to me was a pretty big statement by the team that they thought DeSmith was the better goalie at the moment. So for Jake Ottinger to come in and play as well as he did, especially in the second period last night. I know it was very late in Dallas for these West Coast starts, but yes, the Kings had a really big push in the second period and even a couple times in the third. So for Ottinger to hold them to one goal and get a big win for Dallas, I think that's a big statement by Ottinger that what we saw was more of a fluke and a hiccup and not some weird latent problem in his game. He's still the goalie they expect him to be and want him to be. He just needs to show he can do it game after game.
Is there any particular thing that stands out to you whenever you see that opponents have drawn 26 power plays and the Stars have 13 in the last seven games?
Yeah, it's hard when you're killing twice as many penalties as power plays that you get. One thing I did look at, a couple fans actually were commenting about this on my site the other day, and I went back and looked, and up to November 20th, the Stars were top 10 in the league in power plays. They were getting about three and a half power plays a game. Since November 21st, and I'll explain why that date means something in a moment, maybe you already remember, since November 21st, the Stars are only getting about 2.5 power plays per game. And the significance of that is the day when Mikko Rantanen got fined for embellishment.
Interesting.
So if you're a big conspiracy theorist and you think all the referees, you know, have grudges and don't like players embarrassing them by trying to embellish to draw penalties,
I do.
You could make there you go. So there you go. I'm glad we have someone present. You could argue that reputation thing. I mean, the Stars fans kind of saw it with Mason Marchman over the last few years. He also is someone who got fined for embellishment in his career, and sometimes, you know, he would bark pretty vociferously at the refs trying to draw calls, and that can kind of hurt you. So last night it was interesting because Glenn Gulladson kind of voiced some of the team's frustration, and he kind of did it half jokingly. He said, you know, I don't know what's going on. We're a pretty quiet coaching staff, and, you know, all of a sudden we didn't get any power plays last night. And like you mentioned, you know, they're getting outchanced 2-1 in terms of power plays recently. So Gulladson kind of joked that, I don't know, maybe I need to start yelling more or something because we're just not getting calls. And that's kind of a soft version of what we've seen teams do in a playoff series where they really try to lean on the refs and create a public narrative that'll kind of pressure them into evening the calls out. We remember Minnesota trying to do that against the Stars a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And Pete DeBoer very much just saying, well, they're the third most penalized team in the league, so I don't know what you want. Like that, these calls are reflecting the reality. So I still hope that they'll, for the Stars' sake, you still hope that they'll even out over the course of the year. But certainly since that Rantanen embellishment penalty, the Stars have had a lot tougher time drawing calls. So we'll see if they can right the ship.
Over the years, whether it's with the Stars or across the NHL in general, how effective or how frequently do you think that, like, I'm going to be a lot louder, I'm going to be a lot more intense about voicing my concerns about the imbalance of penalties? Is that really ever effective?
I think to some extent it's true as long as you have the human element in refereeing or umpiring. I mean, you know, you'll see it in baseball, right? You want to get in his ear early, like, whoa, that's low, or okay, we better get that one too, right? You see with balls and strikes. Even in basketball, right, you want to look for what's the standard going to be, what blocks or charges are going to be called early. And especially in soccer, you know, the World Cup's coming up, and we all know about how games can spiral quickly if some cards get handed out early. And hockey, too. In a game, I think it's a fairly big deal in a game, but playoffs are where I think it's a really big deal. You have a playoff series supervisor over every officiating supervisor over every playoff series. And so that's when I tend to see coaches.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's really get at it a little bit in the media where they're trying to create this narrative and public pressure that, wow, well, you know, they really got a lot in this game, so we just hope that's the same standard and everything, because referees are humans too. And if they feel like there's even a perception they're being unfair, then I think the hope by coaches and players is that just that perception will create a little bit more pressure for them to even out the calls in some way. So that could be a little bit of what Gulladson was trying to do last night.
I know these two things are obviously interconnected, and we were talking about Ottinger looking good last night. What has been your season-long overview of Ottinger during five-on-five play and then the Stars as a whole during five-on-five play?
Yeah, one thing last night that Goldson mentioned, and I kind of think this is something important for Ottinger's all season long, fighting through traffic to find pucks. Ottinger's a big goalie. He's a fair bit bigger than Casey DeSmith, but DeSmith has had the better numbers this season at 5-on-5 and otherwise. So for Ottinger, when he's at his best, he's using his size to look around players, look over players, to find pucks and be able to not just make the saves, but make the saves cleanly so that they don't lie around in, you know, every team's trying to get traffic at the net now, create scrambles, create chaos. But Ottinger, when he's at his best, is still able to find those pucks and kick him out or bat him away or snag him with his glove, whatever it takes to prevent that chaos from kind of metastasizing into something worse. So from Ottinger, when he's struggled, those rebounds have sometimes been a little bit messier, or he hasn't quite found those pucks, you know, from distance. They've kind of floated through and it's looked like, oh, he couldn't see him. And you can make an excuse for, oh, yeah, there's traffic, there is a screen. But as a goalie, you can't control if there's a screen or not, but you can control how hard you're working to look through them. And Goldson praised Ottinger for his ability to do that last night. And I do think that's a key part of Ottinger's game, especially leading up to the Olympics. I mean, if he wants to take that number one job from Connor Hellebuyck and win a gold medal with Team USA as a starter, I mean, there is no bigger motivation in any player's career than that, you would think, being the guy for your country in a best-on-best tournament. And Ottinger has the chance to do that. Hellebuyck isn't exactly having a great year, so he'll get a game in the Olympics, absolutely. They play too many games for him not to get a start, but he's got to show he can keep doing that and not let traffic, not let rebounds, not let any of those things be a problem for him. And sometimes this season he hasn't been able to do that, whereas DeSmith has dealt a lot better with the chaos, and I think that's a big part of why DeSmith got those two starts the other week.
Talk with Robert Tiffin right here on 105 Through the Fan. If you love everything he's saying in the insightfulness, starsthoughts.com. You mentioned...
I don't like to correct a guest, Kevin, but he said
no.
A little more messy. It's Messier.
Messier.
Yeah, Messier.
Yeah, it's a little messy.
Yeah, you're the hockey guy, so we'll just leave that up to you for next time. So.
All right. Well, see,
okay,
we'll,
if we're gonna open the pun Pandora's box, we can do that. But I'll hold off for now.
I don't know if you want to do that. All right. Yeah. Well, since you mentioned the Olympics, have the Olympic Committee called you up to help work on their ice and their arena at all? Because I heard it's not going well in Italy.
It depends on whom you ask. Everything that we've heard most recently is the changing rooms. I think anyone who's played like beer league hockey probably has experienced better changing rooms than that are there right now. If you have a bench and some concrete walls, you're probably in better shape than some of the ones right now. Plumbing's still getting sorted out. I mean, you know, it's no one wants to throw around any kind of stereotypes about how construction works in different places, but I think we know even here, like getting permits and, you know, anyone who's ever tried to renovate a house.
Oh, taking on construction, huh?
It's a tough thing to do, to get all your permitting and ducks in a row, supplies, lead times, all those things. You know, who doesn't love contractors? They're wonderful people, but I think I'm trying to save you guys here.
Haven't they known they were going to have this event for like 8 years, though?
You know, yes, absolutely. And yes, there were still holes in the ice the other night, but by all accounts, the ice surface probably will be fine. There will be a place to have the hockey tournaments. The practice rink may or may not be able to have people practice on it. It'll be an adventure, but, you know, Olympic hockey is always kind of Spartan at its best. So this might just be a more, you know, taking kids back to the junior days when they go out there. Maybe it'll be a fun bonding experience. That's probably how you have to spin it if you're a coach, because right now it sounds like it's going to be very, very interesting, and the ice might be basically Reunion Arena circa 1999.
Hey, that's a damn fine year, all right? So that's, yeah, that's okay.
It worked pretty well for a couple Americans I can think of.
Yeah.
They could always just move it to supergreatandlegitimatecurrency.biz arena. That could definitely be a thing that they could do. I'm just kind of curious, what's been your take on Duchesne over the last month and a half now that he's kind of been getting back in, his footing again?
Yeah, I'm actually writing about Matt Duchesne later this week. It's a well-timed question over at D Magazine because he, I mean, the Stars just extended him for 4 years. After 2 years of him kind of giving him the sweetheart one-year deal, he finally said, okay, now I'd like some more security for my family. So they signed him for 4 years at $4.5 million a year. And this is the first year of that. And then, as we know, he had that concussion just in the third game of the season. They it took a while for the doctors to actually be able to diagnose it as a concussion. A lot of symptoms, vision and all sorts of stuff that he's talked about just were really tough on him and one of the toughest really injuries of his career that he's had. So it's been a tough year for him. What I would say is the other tricky part is, in addition to coming back from that injury, and of course he got the empty net goal last night, which was, I think, a really good thing for him. Sometimes those empty netters, even if it's a pretty straightforward one, it can be kind of a get healthy thing for a player, right? Just give him a little bit of that confidence.
See, go in the net, Robertson, yeah.
Even last year, exactly. Just boost that kind of confidence, that tiny bit. It feels good. Scorers want to score. But for Duchesne, a big thing is that he doesn't have either of the wingers that he did for those first 2 years. Mason Marchment, Tyler Seguin, and he, at times, they were the best line, not just on the team, but one of the best lines in hockey, maybe the best line in hockey for a stretch last year before Seguin went down. So to lose not only Marchment last year in the trade, but also to have Seguin go down again with his ACL injury, the Stars' lack of wing depth is kind of, I think it's actually showing up the most with Duchesne. We've seen Duchesne move up to the top line and play on the left wing with Johnston and Rantanen at times, but that hasn't really meshed into anything all that great. So Duchesne's been back on that third line in the center role, and he's had wingers last night. He had J.V. Ben, Justin Ritzkovian. He played with Adam Ernie the other night. He's had all sorts of people that they've tried to play him with just to see if they can get something going. But I think the reality is the Stars probably will need to add another winger. I asked Jim Neal about this the other day. He kind of course, as you can imagine, kept his cards to his chest. But it wouldn't shock me if the Stars try to get at least one more kind of playmaking or scoring winger by the trade deadline in early March, because I think Duchesne, as much as anyone, he's a really great playmaker and can be a strong offensive force, but he needs those other players to feed the puck too. And right now with all due respect to Jamie Benn, he's not quite the player that can do that to the level that he was, 5-6 years ago.
I know the question I'm about to ask is about a young player, and we have a really long time to figure this out. But we've gotten a lot of feedback, and I have to admit I get a little nervous thinking about Thomas Harley's contract. That's all going to be okay in the end, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's actually one I feel very confident about kind of calming the waters on, because we saw what Thomas Harley did, not just for, half the season last year with Miro Heiskanen out, not just in the playoffs. I mean, everyone remembers that goal to win the series against Winnipeg in overtime. But what he did at Four Nations last year for Team Canada, it got thrown right in, tough environment, and he played on a line with Drew Doughty, actually, ironically, who he faced last night in Los Angeles. And Thomas Harley looked like he belonged. That's the player he is. Those are the skills that he has. We do know he dealt with some injuries earlier this year, missed some time because of it. I asked him a week or two ago what those injuries were. He and the team have both kind of declined to elaborate. Lower body injury is all they're saying. So that, I think, could have been part of his struggles earlier in the year. And as he starts settling more, I think there's every reason to hope that we'll see the Thomas Harley as the second half of the season really starts getting going here that we saw in the first half. And hey, there's also the Olympics this year. He's going again. If he looks anything like the player he did coming back from Four Nations last year, then I think that contract he just signed is going to look like a very good one for the Stars sooner rather than later, even with the early struggles this year.
Okay, excellent. I appreciate the information. We love having you on. And for everybody listening, if you love this information, starsthoughts.com. You can also catch Robert, a frequent guest, on the Spits and Suds podcast as well. Man, thank you very much for the time, good sir.
Anytime, you guys. Always enjoy it, and go get some breakfast.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.